Matt, we lost Uncle Charlie, Charlie Daniels, yesterday at age 83. He was a unique individual. He wasn't country necessarily. He wasn't rock necessarily. He wasn't blues necessarily. He was all those things. And he just did his own thing. That's still in Saigon. Some text messages here. Somebody says, sorry, Ray, for me it was always the legend of the Woolly Swamp. Way back in Booger Woods, he never did do a lot of harm in the world, but he never did do any good. Beyond the Devil Went Down to Georgia, this guy did so much. I mean, just so much. And musically, the rhythm and blues stuff he did, you'd listen to it and you would just go, oh, now this is good stuff. With that said, I want to talk to one of my favorite people in the world, and this also goes beyond country music because he's a patriot. He's a God-fearing America. He loves this country. You can see him on The Pursuit. Of course, one half of Big and Rich and from Lone Star, my friend John Rich. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Buddy, I'm well, man. I woke up yesterday from a little nap because I've been doing the show here on WLS and, you know, getting up early. And I woke up to the news that you and I lost a mutual pal and just a good guy. And I immediately saw your tweet. Explain to people that don't know just how much Charlie Daniels not only meant to music and to rhythm and blues and to country and rock and as a session player, but really the things he did for the men and women of our service members and the military. I mean, this guy's philanthropy really, it didn't go unnoticed, but he didn't make a big deal of it.
Man, he was a force to be reckoned with. He was a force of nature. Might be a good way to describe Mr. Charlie. It's so crazy. I don't know that you even know this, Ray, but 3 weeks ago, I was sitting on Charlie Daniels' porch out in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, and did about an hour and 15-minute profile-style interview on him, on his entire life, from the time he was born in Wilmington, North Carolina, all the way to that current second of sitting on the porch with him. That was 3 weeks ago, and it was the final interview of his life. And I sat there and was able to speak to him about all these things. Who knew that was his final interview? He didn't know that. I didn't know that. Some of the things he talked about, I think because he was comfortable with me because we've known each other a long time, I cannot wait for you and everybody else to see what he said. This man, you know, you talk about chasing the American dream. Nobody went at it harder than Charlie Daniels. This year, Ray, 2020, Charlie Daniels had over 100 concerts on the books before the virus hit.
And 83 years old. 83,
and he's doing over 100 concerts a year, like 110, 115 shows a year. Why did he do that, you ask? Because that's what he loved to do. He loved to play music. He loved the camaraderie with his band. He loved the interaction with his crowds. He loved the police backstage that were protecting those crowds and him. You know, you talked about our military. You're right. Charlie Daniels was one of the most philanthropic, benevolent people out there, but he went about it the right way where he wasn't advertising his philanthropy. You know, he just did it. He let people know about it so they could support it with him. But he went on about his business and filled needs where he saw needs to be felt. There's stories about Charlie Daniels meeting. There's one story. He met a fan, and the fan was really upset backstage and told Charlie that their brother was in the hospital dying of cancer and wanted to be at the concert but couldn't. When the show was over, after a show, sweating, you know how that looks, he gets through, goes to the hospital, and sits with this young man for an hour and sings old gospel hymns and prays with the guy in the hospital. 2 days later, the young man died. Stories like that you'll never even hear about Charlie Daniels. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of stories like that about this man. He is something that every single one of us should aspire to try to be like that in our lives.
You know, you bring up a lot of people that don't know, and I said earlier as we were bringing you on, if you think that Charlie Daniels is the Devil Went Down to Georgia, you got to look more into this guy, because what this guy did, he just blues music alone, and that
in that, I don't know if I want to call it that Muscle Shoals sound, but he worked with Dickie Betts and the Allman Brothers. And, of course, he was, you know, he worked on the Bob Dylan albums. He was a big session musician in Nashville where it's just the best of the best. But
do you know the story of the Bob Dylan thing, though?
I don't.
Really,
I don't.
How that worked? Well, I didn't either. I knew that he played on Bob Dylan's records. But when I got to sit him down, by the way, this is going to be aired. It looks like you talked about my show, The Pursuit. They're rush editing that episode, and they're not going to make it a 25-minute deal. It's going to be probably the entire interview.
Cool.
They're going to air this Friday. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, let me
that.
Know. I'd like to talk. Trust me, this audience would dig that.
Oh, dude, it's I can't wait. But he went into. I asked him about the Bob Dylan record. So what happened was, there was the guitar player that was booked for the session got sick. And so the producer of the record knew Charlie Daniels, this back in the 60s, and called him to come in and play guitar on this one session. And they were cutting day after day after day for weeks on end. So Charlie comes in and fills in for this one session. And then the next session, the other original guitar player made it into the studio. And Bob Dylan asked the producer, this is all coming from Charlie to me, tell me the story. Bob Dylan says, hey, man, what happened to our guitar player? And the producer goes, well, he was just a fill-in. This was your actual guitar player. He goes, I want the other guy. And so they told the guy, hey, I'm sorry, you're going to have to pack up. They called Charlie Daniels. He came in, and him and Bob Dylan became friends, and he played on the next three Bob Dylan records playing guitar for Bob Dylan. I mean, Charlie Daniels' first big cut as a songwriter was on Elvis Presley, called It Hurts Me, back in the early 60s. I mean, this guy, yeah, he's a lot more than his music, but if all you talked about was his musical ability, his face would go on the Mount Rushmore of country music if there was such a thing.
I agree with that, and I know another person that you're very close to, and she's an Illinois girl, and Gretchen Wilson, almost looked at Charlie Daniels like a father, as a father figure, and what he meant to her. And you know, because Gretchen, and you'd know this better than I do, but Gretchen told me one time that she just didn't feel like she was, you know, that she was good enough or pretty enough or what, you know, the Nashville polish machine wanted. And he's just like, no, be who you are. This is what we want. This is what we need. And I don't, it's unfair to ask you this question, but if you had to pick one song that was your consummate go-to for Charlie Daniels, what would it be?
Oh, wow.
For me, it's a song called Carolina, which I believe is off the Reflection CD, because I know that he was an only child to a Carolina lumberman, and the way that he lets you get into his life, you know, just through the way that he crafted that music was just, it's incredible to me. And there's a lot of people that miss out on that, I'm just so saddened by this.
He was a deep well. I mean, you know, he had, you know, and when you go back and listen to Leave This Long-Haired Country Boy Alone, you know, one thing I think people loved about Charlie Daniels was that he did not back up off of who he was, what he believed, what he stood for. If you go look at the tweets he was putting out on his Twitter page the day before he passed away, so July 5th, I mean, he was ripping through that thing. I mean, he was going talking about Benghazi and talking about all kinds of stuff.
Well, every day he tweeted about Benghazi. Yeah.
I mean, he was relentless with it. You know, he was a huge supporter of our Second Amendment rights. You know, he had a little shooting range right off his back porch in Mount Juliet and a little .22 rifle. And every day they said he would go through 100 rounds, a little .22 shots, shooting little targets.
Ping, ping, you know? Ping.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie Daniels, they said, could shoot a tick off a dog's back at 150 yards with that little .22 rifle.
Oh, buddy.
He was an awesome man. And you say father figure, I called him, you know, country music's grandpa, because that's kind of what he was.
You know, it saddens me that there's a group of people, you know, and shame on country radio, because, you know, today they should be paying, you know, homage to this guy. And I know that a lot of places won't, just because of, you know, the slick little new sound and the program directors that are afraid to take a chance. But if you have kids and if you don't know of Charlie Daniels, look up some of his music. Go past The Devil Went Down to Georgia. Look at his Christian music is unbelievable. Dove Awards, Country Music Hall of Fame, Fiddle Players Hall of Fame. I mean, Songwriters Hall of Fame. He's all the things that if you really love music and you get in the business for the right reasons, he's everything a musician aspires to be.
Yeah, one of his favorite things, and he says this in the interview I did with him, he said, John, country music ain't a hobby. It's like, meaning some of the young talent that's coming up, if you see them, you know, they get on a TV show or they win a contest or whatever, he goes, that's all great, but country music ain't a hobby. Like, if you're going to be great at it and you want to try to do things that stand the test of time, you better be willing to dedicate decades and decades of your life to go do it. And he didn't pull any punches with new artists. He helped a lot of them, but he was always just that direct, even uncomfortable advice that he was willing to give people, which is the true sign of a mentor, that he would speak to you like that. And it's just an incredible man, incredible loss for everybody that knew him. But man, you know, he's got a golden fiddle in his hands right now, probably jamming with Hank Williams Sr.
That devil never stood a chance. We're talking with John Rich. John, buddy, right. We've got to go. We're up against the clock. But I want to thank you because a couple months ago, before all this COVID nonsense hit, you sent me some bottles of your Redneck Riviera whiskey that were autographed for a Batavia Flag Monument project that's going on. I hosted this charity event, and I want you to know that those bottles went for $1,000 a piece.
Holy cow.
Yeah,
that's
great. And it's going to be an unbelievable monument right here in Illinois because Flag Day was thought up, and the idea came out of a little town called Batavia, Illinois. So we did good in the hood. Your whiskey sold for a lot of money. It helped a lot of people. And please keep me up to date on when that's going to be on the Pursuit or when you're going to show that piece that you did with Charlie, because I'd love to tell our listeners about it.
I will do. They're telling me it may be this Friday.
Okay.
So I will keep you posted. And, man, thanks for having me on.
All right, brother. You know I love you.
Best of luck to you guys. Thanks, brother.
All right. That's JR, John Rich, here on WLS. Sorry that I went long on that, Nick. I know you got to talk about the traffic.
No, I don't care about traffic. Good stories.
Listen to this song.
Goose feather snowflakes in the gray morning light. Sand spurs and puppies and red autumn leaves and warm lights in the clear night on a cold Christmas Eve.
You'll find that on the Reflections CD. That is just awesome, man. That is Charlie Daniels. We were talking to a John Rich.